try not to cough too much. I am in my third and a half week following a very serious case of flu. I have not had the flu probably in about 25 years, and frankly, it was worse than malaria that I had in Africa, and I thought, phew, this is very bad. And then it has this lingering bronchial coughing and spasming, which is just terrible. So I'm supposed to go down to Belize tomorrow, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get to the airport, and then get the plane at 6 o'clock and head on down for a week down there with a team of 9 of us going from Northridge Bible Chapel. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time. But it's good to be with you this morning. This morning, if you would open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, looking at verse 19, a very short verse, one that we should probably all commit to memory. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. What a great verse. We talked a lot about love this morning. In fact, Josiah read for us there in 2 Timothy something about some competing love, some other loves. It said men would be lovers of self and lovers of money. They'd be unloving. They'd be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that is so true. This morning I want to talk about being restored to love, the restoration to love, to our first love. And how better to do that than to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and his high standard of love. So that's really what I want to look at today together. So let's just ask the Lord's blessing. Father, as we open your word, we ask that you would guide us into all truth and understanding of your word. Speak to our hearts. Help us to grow that we might love the Lord Jesus Christ and you, Father, more and more. That we might learn to put aside those things that are encumbrances and that take us away from loving you as we ought. And just deepen our relationship with you. Teach us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting that even as we live life, we tend to get dull in our love, even with our own relationships. And it's been fun being at the stage of life where our children are grown up and they're starting to have relationships that hopefully will lead toward marriage. And as you look at those relationships and the love, you're taken back to that period of your own life. But you also kind of look at your life and say, wow, you know, over time, things do kind of dull out a little bit. You just get so used to things. And you realize that all relationships take work. And we know that, you know, the Lord said to the church at Ephesus, I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. And we know that it's easy to leave our love, our primary love, because there's other things that will occupy our time and attention and interest. But God wants us to have him as our first love always. And so this is called restoring the love. The hallmark of Christ and the Christian faith is the agape love of the Lord Jesus Christ, an undeserving, unmerited, God-initiated, and God-emanating love. He alone sustains that love himself. And it is that love which is undeserved and unfathomable to us. Back when we sent a group down to Slidell, Louisiana, to help out, our group went down to help rebuild after the Hurricane Katrina. And there was a man that came up to our team and said, you know, you Christians are the only people that have come down to help us. And I'm just amazed at how much you love. And that's the hallmark of Christianity and Christ, is that love. But let's look at God's high standard of love. The first thing I want you to notice in this verse is that the ability, the very ability and foundation for us to love God does not come from within ourselves. It can't. We're loveless. We don't have that capability. It comes because he first loved us. The very ability for us to love comes because God initiated and loved us. And so love becomes a reflective thing. It's not coming from within us. As we get God's love, we're able to return it. You know how sometimes people pray and for their meal they'll say, we're returning thanks. And that, I never could understand that. We're giving thanks, not returning thanks. But you'd be accurate by saying we're returning love. Because we're really giving love back to God. Because he first loved us, That's why we can love Him. Well, several points I want to nail down today. First thing about God's high standard of love is that it is a preemptive love, not a reactive love. It's a preemptive love, not a reactive love. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love with which He loved us, even while we were dead in sins, He has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved." While we were still mired in sin, while we were still rebels and haters of God, while we were the ones yelling, "Crucify Him, crucify Him," He loved us. He didn't look and wait for a spark of hope, some little initiative on our part, but while we were blatantly opposed to God, He loved us. That's preemptive love. Preemptive love is saying you don't wait to see something that pleases you before you start to show love. When it's the darkest, when it is the most unmerited, that's when God shows love, and that's what kind of love His is. And the kind of love that He desires us to have is a preemptive love. Listen to Ephesians 1:3-4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, according as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love." The thing to notice in that verse is that His preemptive love started before we were even on the scene. Before the foundation of the world, it says. That's pretty amazing. That He loved us so much before we even were on the scenes, and He knew what kind of people we'd be, that we'd be rebels, that He loved us and planned for us to be holy and without blame before Him in love. You know, it's funny how when we go around and visit people's homes, and I've been a guest in a lot of homes, you see two kinds of loves expressed. As a missionary, it's interesting that you would run into people who at meetings would say, "Oh, can I do something for you? What can I do? You know, is there anything I can do for you?" And then there would be the others who say, "If you have a need, just let me know. I'd be glad to help you." And they would never come through. Then, you know, it was just kind of an empty offer. And you begin to see that those that really love really get into your life. It's like anything. How do you show a love for a street person? You get into their life. You get with them. You're put out. You're bothered. Or somebody who's got a flat tire. How do you show love? Roll down your window and say, "Hope somebody stops and helps you soon." Now you'd stop. I mean, you get dirty. You get down. You help. I mean, there's a world of difference. I remember there's a brother down in another country. We were speaking at this place, and he came up and he said, "Brother," he said, "is there anything that you've been praying about, a need that you have regarding the mission work?" And I said, "You know, there is one thing that I've been praying about that just kind of almost given up on because it's just kind of such a large ticket item. We've been praying about a sawmill for the work in Congo because we can't get the lumber we need, and we need to cut trees and to be able to get the lumber for rafters and door frames and benches and all the rest." He says, "Well, what kind of a price tag does that have?" I said, "Well, the one I'm looking at is about $14,000. It comes out of Australia, and it's a portable one." He says, "Well, my wife and I will pray with you about it." Next day he came back. This is a week-long meeting. And he said, took me aside, and said, "Jonathan, the Lord has just laid on our hearts to buy that for the work out there." It just floored me. I just couldn't believe it. He said, "The Lord has blessed us, and we own some ships. We're in the shipping business, and we sold the ship, and we just want to tithe and honor the Lord," and He's laid that on our hearts. It was totally preemptive. There was nothing we had done to solicit it or merit it or anything. It was just something out of their heart. Preemptive love. And that's how God works. He wants us to love preemptively, to be thoughtful and thinking of others' needs higher than our own. You know, some men get really frustrated when their wives go shopping. In fact, one man said, "I hold my wife's hand a lot because when I let go, she goes shopping." There's the other fellow who said, you know, my wife's credit card was stolen. It was stolen 6 months ago, in fact, and I've still not reported it. And I said, what? He said, yeah, because whoever got it is spending less than she was. But you know, the thing that's so neat about our ladies is that they do manifest a certain characteristic when they go shopping that shows a characteristic of preemptive love that we men don't have. And I think that bothers some of us men, because we men, when we go shopping, we have what we want in mind. Oh, wow, we go straight to that item in the store, we get it, we buy it, we're out of there, and then on to the next thing. Whereas ladies have this preemptive love, they go in there, and as they're going for what they want, they think, oh, there's Brenton's birthday coming up, I need to get that. Oh, there's an anniversary, I need to get a card. And, oh, this would be really nice for Mary Jo. And they're always thinking about things for other people. And that's the kind of love that the Lord Jesus had. It's a preemptive kind of love. And we need to take lessons, we men, from our wives about being more thoughtful that way. But preemptive love is part of God's high standard of love that is always thoughtful, caring, and reaching out without being asked or before being asked. The second thing I want us to notice is that God's standard of love is not only preemptive, but it is also a giving love rather than a receiving love. And we know that so well from John 3:16, that he loved so much that he gave his only begotten son. It's a giving. It's a giving. It's a sharing. Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man did not come to what? To be served. That is to be a receiver. But to serve, that is to be a giver, and to give his life a ransom for many. It's a giving love. God's high standard of love is preemptive, but it's also giving. It's generous. To give the shirt off their back. Sometimes I'm shamed that I can be among unbelievers and see that their generosity is greater than those of us believers. It's just amazing. I'll even, when we do, John Kinlaw and I do tree work, and I do real estate, but in the tree work, we're kind of grungy looking because we're cutting down trees, and yet we'll go somewhere and somebody just, come on into our house, you know, what can I get you? And these are unbelievers, and just unbelievable. There's no question of doubt. Well, these are just workers, you know, they could be canvassing our house and seeing what they're going to steal. None of that. And you just feel, wow, that's amazing. There are people, very moral, very decent people, that have these traits, and we should have them even more so. Excuse me. This giving love really comes from a willingness, doesn't it? Because true giving is done with willingness. It's not done grudgingly or unwillingly. It is giving without a thought to the loss to yourself. It's a sham and just for show if we give reluctantly. God didn't pretend to give us his son. He didn't give us an imaginary spirit that wasn't flesh and blood. He didn't give us a virtual son who just kind of went through the motions but never experienced the pain and the death. No, it was a real thing. It was authentic. It was his precious only son. And it was a genuine love that was without any grudging. It was totally done with willingness. But you know, it's true, giving love also costs something. It's got to be done willingly, and it's got to be done in a way that is costly. Tokenism is also a sham. If it doesn't cost you anything, then it really isn't love. You know the old story of the pig and the chicken, and breakfast is going to be prepared, and they look at each other, and the pig says to the chicken, I know you're involved, but I'm committed. There was going to be skin off his back. This past summer, we had a lot of blueberries in our yard. We planted blueberries over 20 years ago in our yard before we went to Africa, and they've grown very big and very productive, and they're very nice because, and I hope you won't be offended if we ever offer you some of our blueberries, but they are very well fed by our septic field. Get a lot of nitrogen, and, you know, I mean, they grow real well. Fantastic blueberries. Anyway, it's a lot of work to pick blueberries. If you ever have done it, you got to pick every individual one, and you slot mosquitoes. It's summer, it's hot, and it's not fun. But anyway, there came a time when we had lots of blueberries, and I had picked them, and I was hoping to do something with them, when all of a sudden I noticed they all disappeared. And my dear wife had given them all away. And we had a little talk. Not a bad talk. But I said, you know, I guess the way I felt was as if you had made a whole bunch of batch of cookies and then I went and gave them all away. I said, oh, you have plans for them and kind of expect how they went. And I said, that's the way I felt. Plus, there was a lot of sweat labor that went into it. And it just got me thinking about that. Why did it bother me? Because I had invested so much time into it. And yet real love is when you do give away the things that you invest a lot of time and labor in. If it comes easy to you, it's not love. It's just kind of, you know, it's any old thing. But, well, that's good enough. But when there's sacrifice involved, when there is a cost, then to really do it is real love. I remember as a kid growing up in Italy. My parents were missionaries in Italy, and we didn't have many opportunities to do many things as kids. We lived in an apartment building up on the 8th floor, had this little small cement terrace that was our yard. I mean, there was not much to do. And all of a sudden, one day, my parents received a letter from the United States. This man in California said, I would like to fly your three boys back to the United States to go to 2 weeks of camp in Wisconsin, to a Christian camp. Phenomenal. Just out of the blue, out of the kindness of his heart, God just laid it on his heart. He wanted to do a kindness like that. And because of that man, that was a very formidable time in my life where God just really got a hold of my life as a young man. And I went to that Christian camp. And I remember the campfire, and I remember just really saying, God, use my life for you. And putting the old piece of wood in the fire. But you see, there was something, it cost him something. That was very expensive to pay for three airline tickets and pay for 2 weeks of camp and all the transportation and everything that was involved. Very thoughtful. And yet he made an investment in the spiritual future of lives. How often do we do things like that and think that way? Giving involves loss. We know that. You know, the scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But giving costs something. We lose time. We lose control. We lose love. Many times what we give is not appreciated or received well. And so there's a loss there. There's a loss of property or money. But isn't it so worth it for the benefit? Because giving brings joy. And God had such joy, as we remembered this morning, the breaking of bread, that he rejoices over us with gladness and with singing. There's a joy in the giving because of the results it'll have. Well, we said that love is preemptive. We said love is giving, but also God's high standard of love is a demonstrative love. A demonstrative love, not an ideological love. It's not pie in the sky. It's actually the rubber meets the road. It's tangible. It's actually something that's visible. Romans 5:8, right there. God commends his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, that word commends is really the word demonstrates or puts into example. He demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, or another translation is, while we were yet sinning, while we were still actively sinning against him, he loved us. How often do we wait to love people? We wait until they stop offending us. While we were yet sinning, while we were going on sinning, while we were persisting in sin, offending him, God loved us. And he loved us by sending his son and then dying on our behalf. 1 John 4:9, and this is manifested or demonstrated, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. God is the master of practical, demonstrative love. God's not into mind games, though he could have played mind games. God is into heart relationships. He demonstrates his love in an open, observable, knowable, real way. And that's what Christ's death was on the cross 2,000 years ago. It was not some kind of imaginary, mystical, or mythical thing. It was actual. Jesus Christ was God's dozen roses to us, his demonstration of love. How often you'll hear somebody say to someone else, I love you, 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 but never demonstrate it. Yes, I love you. Like the fellow who always has his nose in the newspaper right every morning, and wife says, honey, I wish you would tell me that you love me occasionally. He says, honey, I told you when I married you I love you, and if it ever changes, I'll tell you differently. It needs to be demonstrated. Love needs to be demonstrated. Jesus, the dozen roses from God to you and me. He is the rose of Sharon that never wilts and never fades. His love is a love that will go on eternally when we receive it. When I was a child, my parents demonstrated love in many different ways. And one of the ways that they demonstrated love was at Christmas time. They would take us with a load of groceries and gifts to widows and poor people, shut-ins and different ones. And they'd load up the car and we'd go. And I remember as a kid really disliking what was taking place, because we had to go and we'd stand there at the door and we'd ring the doorbell or knock and then open up the door and we'd have to sit there for like 2 hours. And as a kid, you know, you want to be out playing and not sitting listening to old people talk, is the way you think, you know. And the worst part about it, in Italy, there's something about kids' cheeks. You see, in Italy, when you first come in, not only do they kiss you on the cheeks, but they grab you with these two fingers like this. They grab the skin of your cheek and pull it real hard and pinch it. And they go, bello bambino, you cute little kid. And you're suffering. So, you know, we never looked forward to that, you know. But, you know, the whole experience as I grew older just showed me the kind of love my parents had. And that they demonstrated it. They went to people and they showed that love and they laid a foundation and an example for us. Demonstrative love. But God's high standard of love is also sacrificial. It's preemptive. It's giving. It's demonstrative, but it's also sacrificial love. That is, it's not self-preserving love. Listen to Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He gave himself for us as a sacrifice. He didn't just give himself. He just didn't say, hey, I'm available. Give me a call anytime you need me. Hey, you need help in your backyard sometime? Just give me a call. And then do nothing? No. God literally sacrificed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:4, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a high standard. Sacrificial love, willing to be poured out for someone else. Now you might think, and that sounds great, but how many people do you see doing that? There were some journalists that went around trying to poke holes in our war in Iraq and against the administration, the current administration. And they were looking for soldiers to interview to kind of badmouth the war. And this interview took place, and they asked these young recruits that in these days are being recruited to go to Iraq and are joining. And they asked him kind of like, are you guys crazy? What are you going over there for? And the response, and you have to hand it, I have to hand it to these liberal media because they allowed these responses to come out. And I guess it's because they couldn't find anything different. But these recruits were all gung-ho. Just gung-ho to go out and say, you know, because we remember 9/11, because there's terrorism in the world, we need to defend our freedom, we're willing to lay down our lives. That's phenomenal. It was just this attitude of self-sacrifice and being willing to give themselves for the sake of protecting America and having a sacrificial attitude. God's high standard of love involves sacrifice. Yes, we can talk about sacrifice of sleep and resources and time, but what about the sacrifice of our life? Something that not many of us really want to do. You may think that that's just kind of an ideology, but listen to the words of John 15:13. You know that one. No greater love. No one has greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you think, well, that's great. That's kind of on a theoretical level. That's true. I can agree with that. But then you come down to 1 John 3:16. By this we know the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Yes, yes, that's right. Agree. But now listen. And you ought to lay down your lives for the brothers. What? You must lay down your lives for the brethren. Whew. That doesn't give us any wiggle room, any room, any way to get out. God says, even you can be sacrificial in your love and lay down your life for someone. The closest I ever came to that was in Congo, when we stayed in the country when all the other missionaries had evacuated and had been pulled out, and Mission Aviation Fellowship pulled their planes out. We were left stuck. We knew we'd be if we stayed, but we decided that we were going to stay, because every time there was difficulty, missionaries pulled out, and we thought, what way to show Christ's love if we're always running? What we're teaching the local people is that God's word is just effective in the peaceful times, but in the tough times, we flee to safety. And we really ought to be here when it's dangerous. And so we stayed. People were saying, Jonathan, are you crazy? These marauding young soldiers, they rape women. You've got a beautiful wife. Are you thinking right? We prayed. We thought and prayed about it a long time to be there, but felt God wanted us there. And God opened the doors because of it. Because the people saw that we were really there out of love, not out of self-preservation. And there came a time where the Civil War broke out, and it then spun off a horrendous tribal warfare. The tribes were pitted against each other and were slaughtering each other with machetes and burning each other alive in homes and things like this. And the tension grew to the point where even on our mission station, the two tribes were starting to get hostile toward each other and were starting to even make accusations. And one day, it was almost a riot. The two groups met each other out on the little dusty road there through the station, and they were accusing each other. One was accusing the other of having a secret meeting to plan the killing of their tribe. And I knew it wasn't true. But tensions had grown to where people would believe rumors. And so I got out there, and it was interesting because during this buildup of tension, both sides would accuse me of favoring the other side. That was a no-win situation. And on that particular day, when it was just at the boiling point, it looked like anything could happen, then I went out there and I stood between the two sides, and I said, and I was very stern with them, and I said, what you're doing is absolutely wrong. You're believing a lie. But I said, I want you to know that I am not for one side or the other. I'm for the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you all, and I would lay down my life for every one of you. You know how I have helped both sides with medical help and building and all the things that we've done. And I said, if you want to take my life, you can, but I am willing to give it for either one of you. I'm not partial to one side or the other. It was a tense time. And they knew that we were there because we loved them. But you see, Scripture says that we should be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. Do we do it? Are we willing to do that? We can only love others as we look full in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and we see his example and we deepen our love for him and we say, God, help me to love the way you love me. Help me to be preemptive in my love. Help me to be giving. Help me to be demonstrative, to show it and help me to be sacrificial. You know that it's only when we do that that people really come to know Christ. When they see that love is genuine, it's not faked, it's not a convenient love. Oh, they only love when it's convenient. We will reach more people for Christ when we show the kind of love that Christ showed us. We cannot love others if we have not received the love of Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not our Savior and Lord, we can't love that way. And that's where it starts, by accepting Him. But if we do belong to Him, we need to love as He loved. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for just the freshness of looking anew at the Lord Jesus and your love for us. Oh God, help us to love in truth, to love as you loved. And we know that it won't come out of anything that we have, but only as a reflection of the love that we receive from you. Lord, maybe it really is that we are not letting your love come into our hearts the way it should, that we're filtering it or blocking it by many things we bring into our lives. Lord, forgive us and help us. Help us by your power and by your Spirit to rise above those encumbrances and to love as Christ loved. We thank you for loving us. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just continue to stir our hearts to love more and more. We give you thanks, honor, and praise now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Two eleven. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward, to my glorious rest above. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing just the third verse. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love, the best. Third verse, number 211, and the service is over.